Let's get down to business here from CeCe Young, where it is time to step down for entertainment. Which is brought to you by
Window Nation and All Pro Foundation Repair.
And here he is, Dave.
Thank you. And from the Muser's Bunker, Gordon Keith.
He never left.
What up? What up, America?
Would you like to go ahead and get your Twitch tease out of the way so you don't have to shoehorn it in later?
Thanks for reminding me. I would have forgotten. Yes, tonight, 7:35, I think is when I'd do it. 7:35, twitch.tv/actualgordonkeith. It's basically a P1 hangout. We just hang out and talk about life, behind-the-scenes stuff, Davey's grape cluster of hemorrhoids. Will be a huge topic of conversation.
R.I.P.
indeed.
That's right. Did you get those lasered off?
No, surgically removed. I got the combo platter of a colonoscopy and getting hemorrhoids removed.
Were those just health, like, diet related? Is that where that comes from?
Well, initially, if you recall the story, I actually was in good health when I first developed them because I was marathon training, but I would OD on Pepto to try and clog myself up, and and I ended up having the opposite effect of being too clogged and then straining and having problems.
This is a thing marathoners do?
No. As someone who's run multiple, no one I've ever heard of did this.
Google runner's trots. And you will see that I am not the only person that this happens
to. No, you're not the only person. It never occurred to me, as we all big-time marathon poor Dave here, who's just trying to make sure he doesn't get 12 miles out there, and then he's trying to clench his cheeks the rest of the way.
Duck long for the last half.
So many bottom problems.
Yeah, but then later on, as I got fat, then, yes, it was diet-related when they came back.
They came back with a vengeance,
yes,
Gordon.
Diarrhea. With the vengeance.
Yeah. And so how long did you suffer from them before the doctor went in and took them out like a sniper?
Well, if you remember, there was the time where they were excised in the office as an outpatient treatment.
By a priest?
No.
That's an exorcism.
Yeah. When
they called in a priest.
As one exploded and a devil popped up.
These are too demonic for us. Bring in a priest.
No, but it was when they did have to call in a nurse whose sole job was to spread my butt cheeks.
Yeah, probably two.
Well, didn't she get a
extra nurse?
Didn't she get a piece of string and kind of tie it to a door and then slam the door?
No.
Is that how we get rid of
That's how you get rid of teeth you don't want.
Anyway, I'm fine now, guys.
Good,
thank
good,
you.
Good.
You think that nurse has ever been the same since witnessing that?
No.
But she quit her job the next day.
She developed a fentanyl problem, the next day.
All right, so I teased which is cringier.
I'm Layla.
Don't know.
It's a drug problem.
We've all heard by now, Travis Kelce, blackout drunk at the parade trying to sing Friends in Low Places. Let's just hear just a smidgen of it.
No, 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 we ain't done yet. There's one guy that's seen it. His name is Big Daddy Travis Kelce.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. All right, we don't have time for this.
You get the idea.
Yeah, you get the idea. So that's pretty bad. But have you also we saw Travis and Taylor embracing on the field after the game and smooching on each other and whispering in each other's ear. Well, that interaction was mic'd up. And so now we know what they said. So see if this is cringier than that.
Thank you for coming, baby.
I cannot believe that.
Thank you.
I can't believe you.
Thank you for the support. Thank you for coming. Thank you for making it across halfway across the world. You're the best, baby.
Oh, my God.
The absolute best. Was it electric?
It was unbelievable.
He's gay! OK, Okay, that was awesome. That was sweet.
How did you do that?
And think about her. Like, we don't even know if she's ever...
Oh, my God, well, baby. You made me so great.
Hey, I love you so much, baby.
We don't know if she's ever watched a football game, and she rode it all the way to the Super Bowl. Like, she may, I mean, I don't know. I thought it was, that was, what are you supposed to say?
Take your pants off.
What do you think her reaction?
Your hemorrhoids.
What do you think her reaction to his scene at the parade yesterday would be?
Pat took that glass of champagne, I promise.
I doubt she was real happy. But, well, again, it's a parade.
And I toast to you.
Toast to you.
Honey, we do what I'm having. What?
Mike, how do you get...
Somebody needs to put this on auto-tune.
How do you get that drunk in the day? That's kind of awesome.
Yeah, because this is what, like 2 in the afternoon?
Yes. Yeah, it was early.
Like, had to have started at like 8 a.m.
So, Gordon, my prediction for them is they will be engaged before the season next year, be married right about this time next year, and then, like, right after the Super Bowl, and then they'll be divorced within 2 years.
Yeah, I'm not sure that they'll end up getting married.
I think they will.
Like, I think this thing will implode before then. I think she's completely got the blinders on right now because of all the love hormones, and she's overlooking every red flag. And,
well, she's always dreamed of being part of a Super Bowl, too. So,
yeah.
True. True dat, Bob. But the thing is that the thing that complicates it is they're both getting to that age, right? Like,
exactly.
The marriage pressure is on a little bit more.
Does she want to have kids? We don't know.
Oh, yeah. They're 100% she wants to have kids, and she knows that everything is ticking away.
Yeah, but she can always do the Kardashian surrogate route.
Yeah, but she's not a Kardashian.
Find some old bag to carry your egg.
She wants to do it. Well, she's different.
You think she's harvested already?
Maybe. She maybe have, but I think she wants to have her own kid. Take the 2-year break from doing whatever, and then, you know, and then come back when. But then the other thing is that Travis may be retired in like a year, and then you got to live with him like full time.
After all this great high school love story that they're in goes away, is he going to be as appealing?
Then he just wants her to go on tour,
right? Please.
Can you please go do the Asia swing?
Go make money.
All right, we have an update on the heartbreaking story that we had yesterday about the implosion of Monty Python.
Oh, man.
As Eric Idle and John Cleese were sparring on Twitter, or X, as it's now known. And so John Cleese closed it out by responding to a fan saying that he and Eric Idle have always loathed and despised each other. And then that was taken and run with by all the entertainment outlets. And so today, Cleese wrote, "I've just seen the Press Association release. They got it totally wrong. My remark about loathing and despising each other, one, referred to all the members of the group, and two, was a joke that I would have expected PA staff to have, one, an understanding of irony, and two, a sense of humor." And then somebody said, "Well, you could have added the /S to indicate you were being sarcastic." And then he said, "Well, explaining a joke kills it. And making a joke too obvious kills it, too. The requirement for surprise means the listener has to make a small mental leap to get it. Too big a jump and they won't get it. Too little and it becomes too obvious. Tricky."
Yeah, I don't think he was talking. I don't think he was referring to other members, nor was he joking. I think
he's just damage controlling now?
Yes, he is. He knows that they're probably, if it spirals too out of control, then... I don't know what kind of money they're bringing in anyway right now, but there's a chance that it all ends. Or maybe this is all good publicity for them. I just don't know if their comedy resonates at all with a younger generation at all.
I know my wife does not get Monty Python, and I guarantee my kid does not get Monty Python.
No, my kids don't know who they are. Not a chance.
Well, Eric Idle was always the odd man out in the Python group. He and Gilliam also worked on his own, but, you know, there was two writing teams. It was Palin and Terry Jones, and then Graham Chapman and John Cleese wrote together. And then Eric Idle was always by himself. So, and it's I think so there sad. Always was tension between Eric Idle and Cleese.
Remember Gordon in like 96 or 7 when we had Terry Jones on?
Yes. The highlight of my ticket days.
Well, it was like 30 years ago. I didn't know if you remember it or not. It was pretty awesome. It was really, really cool.
All right, we have a couple more entertainment quick hits before we get to Rant Revival.
One more.
Rod Stewart has sold his song catalog. So this is, once again, heating up the transfer of rights of song catalogs because Sony Music just acquired a major stake in the Michael Jackson catalog for nearly $1 billion.
Jeez.
And Queen is supposedly about to sell theirs for upwards of $1 billion. Iconic, which is the firm that bought Rod Stewart's catalog, they say that they have raised more than $1 billion in capital for future catalog investments, but they only spent about $100 million for Rod Stewart. And so that is his publishing catalog, his recorded music, some name and likeness rights, and I believe the gerbil as well.
No, you're mixing him up with
it's Richard Gere.
Yeah. Rod Stewart.
Rod Stewart had the 10-gallon.
And we dubbed it, too.
You don't understand euphemism.
You can't make
a subtlety.
Yeah. The milk jug was enough.
He, like, runs through the wall like the Kool-Aid man. Oh, yeah.
No, it's like little
we know.
Little nautical figures.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you put
in an aircraft carrier,
put in a glass
separate.
Jar as a keepsake.
Poor Rod Stewart, he's just sitting there trying to have his tea, and you're blaming him for
What's
the gerbil.
Tea?
You meant Matchbox car.
Yes. Okay. And finally, Sharon Stone has given an interview with InStyle magazine, and so she became mega famous in '92. When Basic Instinct came out.
Hell yeah, she did.
And so...
Not a good movie, by the way.
Tomahawk Chop.
Then in 94...
Whoa.
...was the famous O.J. chase, the slow speed chase on the one. Was it on the one?
I think it was the 405.
The 405.
Number one. We need to ask the Californians.
And so Sharon Stone has told the InStyle magazine that... During the O.J. low-speed chase, that officers from the LAPD showed up at her door and told her, they said, pack a bag in 10 minutes. We're going to take you to a safe house.
What?
Because they said,
he was
O.J.,
next on our list.
O.J. is dangerous. We don't know how dangerous, and we don't know what this is. So they thought that he was going on a white woman killing spree.
Did they have a connection at all? Like a
no,
relationship?
She had never met OJ.
Okay, that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. They're just going around and picking the hottest women, blondes in Hollywood.
Yeah. And so she packed a bag.
You like your head? Come with us.
Do you want your tongue pulled out your neck hole?
Oh.
So... they took her to a hotel, and she waited it out until he ended up back at his home and surrendered. And then officer said, you need to buy a house with a gate and hire some security, which she did.
For OJ?
Yes.
I think they were trolling her or something.
Yeah. I mean, I think that they were like, hey, we know where Sharon Stone lives. You want to go try and get her in a hotel?
We already got the camera set up in the hotel room.
Or would it surprise you if it was one of those where, like, you want to freak Sharon Stone out?
Dude.
Follow me.
You dare me?
Yeah.
You dare me to go tell Sharon Stone she's next?
That's
we found the OJ hit list. You're next.
OJ just rented Basic Instinct. He's coming for you.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up next, more from Gordon Keith as we get super ranty from CeCe Young.
This is Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310 The Ticket, broadcasting live from the TXU Energy Mothership, KTCK AM Dallas-Fort Worth, KTCK FM Flower Mound.
Has put out a 16-pack, or 32 variety pack.
Yeah.
A Corby commemorative edition?
16 ding-dongs, 16 Twinkies
oh
in the same
God.
Package.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. I think it would really trigger something in me.
You ought to try to eat a ding-dong on the air just to see if you can choke it down.
Why did they call it a ding-dong?
I don't know, but and that's still a word that I use all the time. It's like, stop being a ding-dong.
Hmm. Sound really hip.
I mean, it's a good put-down. I think if you called somebody a ding-dong, they would make it their goal to stop being a ding-dong.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be one.
Corby, will you go on Gordon's Twitch stream tonight and eat a ding-dong?
Tonight I cannot. I have plans. But at some point, if that's what you people really want,
you
will do that.
What do you mean, you people?
You radio people. You know what I mean.
I want to see how many ding-dongs Corby can fit in his mouth at one time.
One.
Number one.
One and only one.
You're one. It's a one ding-dong man.
I am. All right. Well, that'll do it. Tonight, Gordon Keith, twitching at 7:30,
7:35. Yeah, well, okay. Fun with ding-dongs.
All right. We love you, man. We'll talk to you here next week. There he goes. The great Gordon Keith. Gang, gang to you. Doing one of those cruises that took you to 95 different countries in every continent, you basically will circumnavigate the globe.
No.
And it costs you...
It's way too much time on a boat.
It costs you a couple hundred thousand dollars or something like that, and it takes two or three years.
No.
No interest in that?
Well, not at all. I would be interested in a cruise if it's on the Bravo Eugenia and I get Jerry's crew, but none of the Jones family. It's just like you have your awesome boat to yourself.
Yeah.
Where a cruise breaks down is it's packed in there like Disneyland, but and you're at sea.
So this is
giving each other all norovirus and everything.
Then that's the thing that fears me is something upsetting.
Did you just say that fears you?
That I fear. I don't know if I said that fears me. Yeah, that scares me. I don't know.
ESL here.
But there was someone that died on one of these year-long cruises, and an older person that, again, was retired and thought this would be the way to spend a year while in her retirement. And this thing that got me kind of freaked out is that since from 2000 to 2019, okay, so we have a 20-year span. How many people have died on cruises?
Including Mojo Nixon?
Since 2025?
No. 2019.
20 to 2019?
Yeah.
Over a 20-year span, okay. How many people died in cruises? Well, a few boats had to sink, probably, right?
No, Princess cruisers sunk.
2000 to 2019.
Did they run into each other?
I bet you it's definitely in the hundreds, because a lot of older people take cruises, already have
623
issues.
Yeah, that seems remarkably high.
But 623 is more right.
And I wonder how many of it is just people that are retired that just end up dying on the cruise.
Or people that get too drunk and fall overboard.
That happens a lot. Happens a lot, where they get a little tipsy and then they try to do the Titanic scene.
I'm the king of the world!
Wasn't somebody out there on the open seas when the pandemic hit and, like, the whole ship got in, a couple people passed away there?
Well, yeah,
that was hilarious.
They started in San Francisco Bay,
right?
Everybody's
laughing.
I don't know. It's not funny at all.
Yeah, like there were floating hospitals out there.
Yeah.
They turned cruise ships into hospitals.
They wouldn't let them dock because they might have the COVID.
Yeah.
So they left them in San Francisco Bay for a long time, right?
Yeah, or put them in Alcatraz.
Yeah, they would just dump crates of bananas onto the deck.
Here, eat that. If you like that.
It was a produce airstrike.
All right, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Well, I do have a travel-themed story.
Okay.
If we can stay on this. So, if you don't remember, The Rant was a Saturday morning program that was...
For kids.
That was anchored by Gordon Keith and featured myself and Corby.
It was a cartoon alternative.
Yeah. And and oftentimes, we would just discuss the stories of the day. For instance, on Tuesday, there was a Delta flight... DL-133, a flight from Amsterdam to Detroit. and a lady was minding her own business, sitting in her aisle seat, when from the overhead compartment above her, maggots started falling onto her head.
I don't think you can say that word anymore, Dave.
Live maggots. Like the larva, the larva of flies.
You don't think. You're not sure, working in the business for 30. You don't think.
Was somebody transporting a maggot farm?
No, I guarantee you what it was.
Put on that headset again.
Somebody had meat, right?
It was fish. Somebody had fish in their luggage, I bet.
Yes, so flight attendants just
I made a comment earlier tonight.
Giant fish in their luggage.
Flight attendants start looking through the bags in the overhead compartment.
I don't think you can say that.
It's bags, Gordon. And you're correct. You can't.
And they found in one of the bags that there was a rotten fish.
Bingo!
The fish was wrapped in a newspaper, and so they're like, whose bag is this? And a guy stands up, he's like, oh, yeah, that's mine.
Was it a flying fish?
At the time, it was. Yes, it was.
What did he say? How could you have a fish in your bag?
I don't, yeah. Did he forget that it was in there?
Why was it ever in there?
Like 2 months ago.
Why would you ever put a fish in your bag?
Yeah.
Ever.
A fish wrapped in newspaper. And then you're going to have to declare that when you get to customs. Don't they have, like, fish and livestock and whatever you have to say if you're bringing something in? I declare this rotten fish.
I declare this fish is rotten, I say.
I declare you shouldn't
eat
this.
Yeah, so flight attendants had to take it to the back of the plane so the entire fuselage didn't stink of rotten fish more than it did already. And then they had to turn back around and go back to Amsterdam. So everybody had to get off the plane, and they had to clean everything up.
Ugh.
Think about your return to the United States being delayed by 8 hours, 12 hours for rotten fish and maggots.
Everybody would be so mad at the guy. Like, you should not have claimed that that was your bag. You should have denied it.
I have no idea.
And then someone tried to...
Somebody must be pranking me. Somebody must have put that rotten fish in there.
You can't claim it.
No, that would absolutely make me nauseous.
I smell fish.
Do you remember the other night, Dave, when we got back from... We were walking back to the room in Vegas, and just speaking of gross, and they had the police tape around the elevators?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see what that was? We never revisited this the next day.
What?
Was it a vomit spill?
It was, actually. So, Gordon, if you remember the elevator scene that we had in the Mandalay Bay, it's, I guess, partitioned off to where, you know, floors 1 through 12 and then 14 through whatever.
Different banks of elevators.
For there were three different banks and then a common landing area lobby where they all spilled out to.
The Gordo walking tour took us through a couple of those.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, what had happened was is that someone could not make it up to their room in time. And not only did, according to the people down there, did the guy throw up, but he threw up, fell down on the ground, and passed out.
Gosh.
That's like Kelsey-level wasted.
Yeah, that's Travis Kelce.
Right there at the elevator bank.
How embarrassing.
Yeah, and so they were trying to – they weren't done cleaning it up. Like, it was no bueno.
When he fell in it?
Publicly vomited.
No. I fear the vomit so much, and I haven't done it, knock on wood, since like 2000, maybe late 90s. No matter if I'm sick, drunk, whatever, I fear it so much that my insides can sense it and I can now stop it.
I did once vomit into a trash can at a Cowboy game.
I want to go... I'm interested in that story, but I'm more interested in how Corby can instruct his body not to vomit.
Yeah, what
do
you do?
I can't tell you. And maybe it all stems back to me throwing up in my daddy's ding-dong cabin.
What?
You were so scarred
I haven't heard
that
this.
You retrained your body.
Right. And yes, that it was – I was four, and I ate all the ding-dongs in my parents' cabin.
and then I threw up everywhere.
So you, this sounds like you snuck out of bed or something in the middle of the night to eat them all because you knew where your parents were hiding them?
That's exactly what happened. They put both of us to bed in the pop-up camper, and I went down there and I ate them all.
Found the ding-dongs.
Probably like six of them, and I was 4 years old.
Yeah,
right?
And then
loved them.
And then it sounds like you climbed back into the top bunk, but then vomited the ding-dongs onto your father below you.
Why would you assume that he was below me? Why wouldn't it be my sister?
Because I remember it as being your dad, and he had an open mouth, and he had his shirt pulled up, and his Dockers were down.
I believe you also had equipped him with a large hunting knife.
Demanding
that I throw up. Like a Rambo knife.
Give me all your ding-dongs!
And he's got... He's doing that, but he's got one foot stretched all the way out, blocking the doors. My mom's banging on it to get
she's
in.
She's banging, trying to get it. She gets it open about a couple inches, but he slams it back real quick.
Trying to help. I want to help my baby. Stay out of here.
Shut up, Ethel.
He ain't finished yet.
He's got more in him. I can sense it. You saw me pack those ding-dongs. You knew this was going to happen. I got Epicac-filled ding-dongs in that drawer. Boy, I ate all of them.
You know what? Like, we're joking about this, but...
Why'd you eat all the
that
ding-dongs?
That may be what has held me back for so long from throwing... I'm not kidding you. I can't stand the feeling, the thought, any of it. And it back to there.
But I want you to know that nobody... enjoys vomit.
No, it's different with people. Some people are fine, like,
but sometimes, dude, sometimes that's the only thing that can give you relief.
Yeah, well,
you
I know
so much better.
But some people
afterwards.
Are super casual about it, like, yeah, I don't feel really good. I'm gonna go throw up. And they just go throw up. I can't do that. I'm not part of that team.
I always want to throw up when I feel like nauseated and sick. I can't stand feeling nauseated, so I want to throw up so I don't feel that way anymore.
I would like to take this. Yeah, I would like to take this record to my grave, though, of however long it is, 30 plus years of not doing it.
There's no way.
How many ding dongs went down your throat that night?
I think like 8 came in a box.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Would you be willing to face the ding dongs again and to
did
see?
Did you swallow all 8?
You know what? I've never had another one.
Really?
That sounds like a ticket stock challenge.
I've never had one. It absolutely made me sick. What?
Ding dong cabin. What happened to your daddy's ding dong cabin?
First off, it was a pop up camper that was sold immediately after.
It wasn't monogrammed after the fact with Daddy's
right.
Ding Dong.
You know
cabin.
What? Would you put that next
real
to
fancy script?
Would you put that next to Lee Harvey Oswald's bathtub in your
yes.
lexicon of the horror homes and things?
In here, I have Lee Harvey Oswald's bathtub and Corby's Daddy's Ding Dong cabin.
I'm sorry, I have a question about that second one.
Who's the second person? I recognize the first name of that second one.
Looks like we can get ding-dongs overnighted on Amazon here.
Yes, they're still around.
How many are in a box? 8?
It looks like, yes, 10 individually wrapped cakes.
Yeah, and they came in that tin foil, which I thought was just real magical at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Gosh, do I dare do a search for ding-dongs right now? What else? So ding-dong snacks, that's what I need to add.
Your computer's going to think you mean something else.
No, his computer knows exactly what's going on.
They're the little hockey pucks with the cream filling.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gordon.
I think you need to see how many you can eat.
Oh, look at this.
City.
Hostess has put out a 16-pack or 32 variety pack.
Yeah.
A Corby commemorative edition.
16 ding dongs, 16 Twinkies.
Oh,
in the
my
same
God.
Package.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. I think it would really trigger something in me.
You ought to try to eat a ding dong on the air just to see if you can choke it down.
Why did they call it a ding dong?
I don't know, but and that's still a word that I use all the time. It's like, stop being a ding dong.
Sound really hip.
I mean, it's a good put down. I think if you called somebody a ding dong, they would make it their goal to stop being a ding dong.
Yeah,
nobody wants to be one.
Corby, will you go on Gordon's Twitch stream tonight? and eat a ding-dong.
Tonight I cannot. I have plans. But at some point, if that's what you people really want,
you,
will do that.
What do you mean,
whoa,
you people?
You radio people. You know what I mean.
I want to see how many ding-dongs Corby can fit in his mouth at one time.
One.
Number one.
One and only one.
You're one. So one ding-dong man.
I am. All right. Well, that'll do it. Tonight, Gordon Keith,
yeah,
twitching 735. At
7:30. Yeah, a lot of fun with ding-dongs.
All right. We love you, man. We'll talk to you here next week. There he goes.
Gang,
the great
gang.
Gordon Keith. Gang, gang to you.